Joshua, in addition to your previous experience, you also worked with the World Bank Institute, where you implemented policies and you worked on implementing democratization and transparency initiatives in places such as Ukraine and Kazakhstan. What would you say to someone who's looking into perhaps doing a placement or working for the World Bank Institute?
Well, I got this position through my master's program. So it was an internship that I was working on. And it was an interesting internship because the World Bank Institute is like the research arm of the World Bank. So my job was to conduct research on states in the post-Soviet space that had some form of extractive industry. So we were trying to see these countries that are rich in resources in mining or in petroleum extraction, to what extent is democracy alive in their parliaments? So we found that it wasn't really alive in many of the parliaments. Azerbaijan has more of an aura of a democratized state than Ukraine and Kazakhstan did during our research, but the resource curse was definitely alive in all these states. In terms of somebody getting in, I mean, it all comes down to, again, because I got this through school. Look at all the opportunities that the school offers. You know, school isn't just about getting marks. School is more and more becoming about networking and the opportunities to do interesting things, to stand out. You know, we're all unique, but we're not really unique because, you know, everybody finishes university now. That's just the reality. So as somebody who got this through school, I would say, hey, take every advantage that you can. Take every opportunity you can to take advantage of the opportunities that you have presented before you. If you can apply for the World Bank Institute off school, tell me how to do it too.
But I mean, I oftentimes advise students to look at these opportunities. You can complete a program successfully, and obtaining an education is one thing, but unless you're able to use that degree and to do the work that you enjoy, oftentimes you'll see graduates and they'll complete a graduate degree, a master's degree, and then they won't have a position. They'll be out of work, or they won't be able to secure an internship or a placement of interest to them. And I think that's oftentimes the result of individuals not networking. So like you said, going out there, you know, no one's going to come to you. You have to take that initiative to look at who's hiring, look at any internships that are available to you, look at any positions, look at any openings. So you have to take the next step to be as actively involved and engaged in the process, because unless you do that, you'll have degrees, you'll have these degrees, but you won't have a position, you won't have a job, right? So
that's very true.
That is, as the program editor of Expanding Community here at the NATO Association of Canada, what are some of your plans for your program?
Considering that NATO has expanded quite successfully in Europe, it seems like there's not much to talk about. However, there is still quite a bit of room to talk about the expanding community and whether the community should be expanding anymore. So I'm going to be focusing on what's left of NATO expansion in the Balkans, dealing with the post-Yugoslav state, this post-Yugoslav space, what NATO aims to do with that area, and whether or not these states are prepared or interested, in fact, in joining. And then there are a few Nordic states that also have not joined, specifically because of Russia. And I'm going to talk more about the expanding relationship, because the relationship can only expand from this point, between NATO and Russia. And I think that the topic of expanding community cannot exclude Russia. So Russia is going to be at the forefront of this.
Russia is a key player. I think, as we mentioned before, in terms of the thesis and the work that you've done, you obviously have an extensive background in European, Russian, and Eurasian studies, and all of the information that's out there on the news. I think everyone knows that you have to work with Russia in order for any changes to be implemented or made. Russia's voice needs to be heard, and at the same time, Russia needs to feel like their concerns and their issues are being adequately addressed.
That's right.
Drasho, in terms of international relations and affairs, what would you say are some of the major issues of concern happening right now that not too many people are talking about?
The biggest international relations issues right now come down to a regulation of the financial sector, global and the one in the States. I mean, Not that many can do much about what's going on within the States. That's there in the internal policy. There's a lot that can be going on right now in the global markets. Global markets, yeah, man. The international financial sector needs to be regulated more. Who's to regulate it? That's the biggest problem with international relations, is who's going to tell who to do what.
And it's a question of, do you choose the government or the courts to regulate it? How will they regulate it? How much time will it take? And I think it's a difficult area to focus on.
We're slipping more into a multilateral system, and we're seeing other big actors taking steps that the United States took following World War II. You know, the whole the alliance between these BRICS countries, however loose it might be, is something that should be noted, and something, and these actors are actively pursuing a policy where, you know, they're developing their own development banks, and they're being left out in institutions that the United States set up post-World War II. You know, in the WTO, Russia and China don't really have as much of a say as the United States, and the same goes, you know, with what's going on in the World Bank, which is why these states are taking necessary steps to protect their interests in the world.
For those who are interested in perhaps considering an internship or a junior research fellowship here at the NATO Association of Canada, what advice would you provide to those who are potentially considering this possibility? How has it been for you the past week?
Honestly, just get out there, get involved. This isn't the 80s or 70s anymore, where you can finish an undergrad and get a job and have job security for the rest of your life. If you don't do it, nobody else will. The competition is so tough. Even finishing at elite schools isn't enough anymore.
It's true. There are a lot of students out there who will complete a degree in an Ivy League school, Harvard, Yale, you know, Stanford. And it's nice to have a degree from a prestigious university. That's one thing. But it means nothing unless you can apply that degree and you can be successful in obtaining a position that is of value to you. There are a lot of graduates out there who will also complete a degree and they're unsuccessful in obtaining employment in the field of their studies, and they end up doing a job that they hate. So in order to prevent that from happening, I oftentimes advise students to start looking for jobs while you're in university. A lot of these jobs require a bachelor's degree. So start networking with a lot of these people while you're in your first, second, third year of university, so you have something lined up before you graduate.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why people pay to go to elite schools is you pay the premium because of the networking, because of the alumni network that's present there. Now, you know, anybody can go to a school, but they could also not take advantage of what the school provides for them. I feel like it's a tragedy when somebody goes to an elite school and then they do not have, you know, anything. Not just waiting for them, but they haven't really set themselves up for future success by, you know, networking and asking the right questions and asking the right people. And that's the best advice I can provide, is if there's a co-op, take it. If there's an internship, take it. If there's a travel opportunity, take it. DACA was an interesting and probably life-changing experience, as cliche as that sounds, but it was. Not many people have been to that part of the world. And when you go there for 6 months and live there, and people live there longer, and it's interesting. It gives you perspective. That's one thing that's really important also. If you want a career in international affairs, if you truly want to understand, you know, how the system works, I mean, you truly want to appreciate why people think differently, the only way to know is to immerse yourself. I went to Russia in 2012. I had ideas about what Russia was like, what Russian people were like as a Serbian person. But, you know, you go there and you see, you know, this is how these people live. This is what they find funny. This is why they find things funny. This is why these things anger them. This is how they perceive life, you know. This is how they perceive death. This is usually, you know, and this ties into, when you understand some of these things, then you can understand why people live the way they do, why they make the choices they do. And, you know, understanding and immersion is the only way we can actually understand how international relations work. And perhaps some policymakers in Canada should also spend some time in Russia and understand why the Russians feel the way they do about NATO. Why do they feel super threatened by ballistic missiles that are being placed close to their borders? And you know what I mean?
These are things that
need to be taken into consideration. I mean, it's not a surprise why Poland feels super threatened by Russia, which is, you know, de facto on its borders, because Belarus and Russia are a union state, more or less one state. You know, history is also important as well. So if you want a career in international affairs, definitely take the time to understand what you're getting into. Don't be afraid to, you know, to get your hands dirty and to travel, to see how different people live.
I think that's the best thing you can do, is immerse yourself in a culture. Until you travel to a certain place, it's difficult to judge or to fully understand
exactly.
The views. You can become educated about a certain region, but unless you take the initiative to actually go to that country, go to Russia, see what it's like, see why it is that Russians feel a certain way.
Right.
And unless you ask the right questions, you won't know the reasoning behind why Russians feel the way that they do.
Exactly.
So again, being open to traveling and taking the opportunity to look at why a certain country feels the way that they do, and having a dialogue with that country. It's so easy to scrutinize someone and to point the finger and blame the Russians.
Right.
But before you do that, become educated and go to the country and see what it's like before you make any judgments. That's all I have to say about that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
I see myself answering the question of what the most pressing international relations issues are. Answering that question better.
No, you did a good job.
Oh, there's so many problems. I always wanted to be involved in diplomacy. This is an area that really interested me. And I focused most of my academic career on getting into the diplomatic sector. Now, in Canada, there are tests that you need to take to get into the Ministry of Foreign Affairs at this point, which is fine. But yeah, somewhere in government, maybe international trade, foreign affairs would be excellent as well. But something to do with Canada's relations with the rest of the world, something that I'm really interested in and pursuing career-wise. In 5 years, where am I going to be? I don't know. You know, the Powerball in the States is $1.5 billion, so... You know, I might be in Bora Bora next weekend, so...
For those who are interested in perhaps contacting you, what would be the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if anybody has any questions for me concerning my past work or anything that I'm doing here, they can reach me on my email. It's drazo.krajisnik@gmail.com. So that's drazo.krajisnik@gmail.com.
Great. Drazo, thank you so much for doing this interview. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure's all mine.
Thank you.